Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Jet Reel Podcast. I'm your host, Jill Treese, and we got a topic today. This is the first episode that I've ever actually written, like, an outline for what I need to and want to talk about. So, it's gonna be a good one. Also, kind of just woke up to record this early because last night, oh my god, I just could not do it. It was late and I was so tired and I just couldn't make myself stay up to record it. So I got up early, so I'm sorry it's late. But this is going to be an important episode, so let's just jump into it. Friendships, I hope that you guys are ready to pay attention to an episode, because if you remember, last week's episode was called Changing How I Train Horses, and I said a lot of things that I really meant in that episode, but I feel like I kind of need to, like, do some damage control with that one, just because, like, I kind of, like, had a conversation right before I recorded that episode, as I mentioned in it, and I was like, yes, this is, I finally, like, it clicked, I know what I want to do now, and I just kind of, like, flew by the seat of my pants and talked about it. Oh, sorry, I literally just woke up. But I do want to, I fleshed it out a little bit. I know more about what I'm trying to do, and I want to be more clear, and maybe you feel the same way, and so let's talk about it. So, first of all, I want to be clear that, while I am changing exactly what I'm doing, I'm not denouncing positive reinforcement in the slightest. And by denouncing, I not only mean I'm not, like, saying it doesn't work, but I'm also not using it now. Like, still what I do will be predominantly positive reinforcement. I'm not switching back to, like, traditional riding and what I used to do before I moved here and started working with positive reinforcement with Zoe. Like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Keep yawning. I don't want to not do positive reinforcement, and I don't want to only do traditional riding. I'm not planning on, like, jumping right back into eventing or anything like that. That's not even on my radar. It's just, like, I'd like to be able to get on and walk. Like, that's the thing. But I'll get to more about that later. So what I am doing, I'm not denouncing positive reinforcement. I'm not using it anymore. I'm not saying it doesn't work. And I'm not saying that I want to go back to traditional. What I am doing is softening my rigidity on never using any pressure. So what that means is I'm going to keep the force-free, positive reinforcement-based training and using the LIMA approach. So I think it's least invasive, minimally aversive. So you start, with the least invasive, minimally invasive. It's either invasive or intrusive. I don't remember what the I stands for, but it's one of those. And you start with the easiest, like, positive reinforcement, and then you gradually work your way up. I don't ever plan on crossing into positive punishment, but a little bit of, oh my god, I hope that you all enjoyed that. It was really cute. Lots of facial expressions with that one. But I do plan on using some negative reinforcement. And, if you've listened to the earlier episodes of this podcast, like season one when it was Equine in Theory, or if you've been following me for the past year on Instagram, you've known that my entire, like, thing has been switching to positive reinforcement. And, I think it's really important because that journey was pivotal for me, and I'm still on it, and I haven't learned everything that I want to learn, but positive reinforcement is just, like, it helped my relationship with Zoe so much, and now I'm going to use everything I know and all the skills I've acquired from each method to find out what works best for us, and because like just using strictly positive reinforcement, like going out into her field, not putting a halter on her, not leading her because I haven't taught her how to lead, you know, without negative reinforcement. Like, that would be doing pure positive reinforcement. Now, most positive reinforcement trainers are like, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, unless you just, like, absolutely want to, like, leading. Like, if Zoe leads fine with pressure, it's fine. Like, you don't have to retrain it. You can just keep using that cue if it doesn't upset them and they respond to it easily. But, you know, it's just, like, I can't do pure positive reinforcement. The facility isn't set up like that, and I'm not an adept enough trainer. And I think that I could be if I applied myself to it, but I'm thinking about how I'd like to make it practical. And because I think that, like, no matter what you do in horses, you should absolutely use positive reinforcement in your training. While you do have to be careful about it because you don't want to poison cues or leave your horse not knowing what to expect from you, you know, it's an amazing thing. It can strengthen your relationship, and it makes your horse super happy to work. And, I don't know, I just think it is definitely a kind way to train. Hey, why are you yelling? I don't know if you guys can hear the little orange he's yelling. Wallace. Okay, anyway. So, what started what I wanted to say with this podcast is that I was listening to Mosey Truitt's podcast. It's called the In the Spirit of Horse podcast, and you can listen to it on all the same platforms that you're listening to this one. Episode 41, Moving Beyond Just One Method with Jess Roberts, resonated so much with me that I'm going to listen to it again. And it really hit home with me. Just the things that they were talking about perfectionism and, you know, such rigidity. And it's just like, it all made sense. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the things that, came up in that episode. So starting with, you guys know, if you've been following me for a minute, that, over the past, like, 6 months, I've been dealing with a lot of depression, and, with that, and, you know, I don't know if it was chicken or the egg, but, oh my god, another yawn. If you're listening to this podcast at happy hour, take a shot every time I yawn. okay, so, I've just, like, really have been feeling uninspired and not connected, and I just, like, nothing was drawing me into the horses, and I felt like it was, like, a, you really should go do this, it felt like a should, instead of a, like, I really want to do this, and I love my horse, and I want to work with her, and I miss all of that. It just became, like, a, I feel like I should be doing that, and I'm doing something wrong by not, and, but I wasn't really enjoying the work that I was doing. Like, I know that, that it can be done with positive reinforcement, but the way that I was doing it was not practical for me. Like, I would just go out with Zoe and work on mat training for 10 minutes. And then, you know, if I started noticing she was getting fatigued or whatever, then I would cut it short and that would be it. And, like, we would just, like, she would have just been standing on a mat. And, like, those behaviors are super, useful. But it's, I feel like that's kind of, going to have to be some in-between work for us, because, like, you know, I've heard some stories of, like, Cindy Martin, I believe, had a mare that when she got on, she couldn't get the mare to walk, so she used mat training, because the mare knew about that, so she'd, like, walk from one mat to another, and, the mare would, started learning how to walk with a human on her back that way. And I think that that is incredible problem solving using positive reinforcement and not, like, just wailing on the horse until it walks forward. But it, I also, like, don't have that problem. and I'm not saying that you should only use it if you are having an issue, but I definitely think, you know, you should use it as preventative and to help your training. And I'm going to use it as the predominant basis for my training. But like, I really just can't do the, like, just chilling in the pasture for 30 minutes a day, like getting nowhere near my goals. And that could be for lack of, like, you know, following an outline or like making a designated training plan. But the thing is, like, and maybe I'm being selfish and like just too carefree, but I don't want to have to do all of that. I really don't. It sucks the fun right out of horses. And that is a huge, huge deal for me. I got so caught up in the ethicality of everything that I was like, I can't move anymore. And, you know, over the past few weeks, I've really felt my draw to horses returning. And I feel like it's so weird because I just posted like a few weeks ago about, you know, being depressed, but I don't know what changed. It certainly wasn't the weather, because it's currently pouring cats and buckets outside. And I'm scratching one right now. I love my little orange chicken kitty cat. I don't know. It's been raining for like 2 weeks, but I am just like, I just feel better. And that's how depression works for me, but this isn't that episode. I want to talk about that in another one, maybe. But it's just like, I just like woke up out of it, and now I'm like, productivity is at its all-time high, like knocking things out. And one of those things that I want to do again is horses. But I cannot bring myself to just go like jog around in my field with her. And I don't want to minimize what positive reinforcement trainers are doing. But I want to ride. That's the bottom line. And, Zoe, it's not like Zoe's never been backed before. It's not like she doesn't know any of that. The biggest thing that we're going to have to overcome is, her reactivity and anxiety. And I'll talk about that a bit more. Can you not, just give me like an hour and then I'll mess with you guys. So needy. Anyway, so I'll talk about that a bit in a minute. I've just, like, really felt motivated to get back to horses and starting to get those ideas again. You know, I start thinking about it more. I'm excited about it. I'm reading more, listening to podcasts about it again, reading blog posts about it again. Because, like, there for a little while, I just, like, turned all of that off. I was like, I can't even be bothered to listen to a podcast or read a long post about training. Like, my mind cannot go there right now. And that was fine. That's where I was at. And I know that about myself and depression. And, it's not like being lazy and just avoiding everything. I just know that that's what happens to me. And it comes back. I just get really burnt out and, just can't handle it. And, that's exactly what I think happened with positive reinforcement and, you know, depression and not wanting to work with Zoe. I really think that I got burnt out. I got paralyzed in trying to be perfect and do everything this certain way. And I got really caught up trying to do everything positive reinforcement and what quadrant is which. Like, oh, was that negative reinforcement? Was that negative punishment? Is that positive reinforcement? When really it's all on a good old sliding scale. And, I don't know. It's not, please don't, please don't do that. Yes. Lay there. sorry. Cat has a sore on him and he just jumped up on my bed and like laid on it. It's gross. I just washed my sheets. Ugh. So it's paralyzing to just be like, oh, I can't do anything, or I'm gonna, like, you know, hurt my horse or create anxiety and stress and et cetera, et cetera. Okay, good stutter. The idea of working with Zoe became a big source of, like, a moral dilemma and just created dissonance in me, because I was like, I really want to do this, but I know that I can't because it's unethical, or it's going to be pushing her, or then it's not force-free training, or it's not positive reinforcement training, or if I, you know, ask her to do this, then I'm forcing my agenda, and I'm, you know, a bad horse trainer now. And I don't think that that is necessarily fair. And also, like, within all of that, it's very difficult to be perfect at the beginning, and I think that it's okay if you aren't. I think that if you're working with, positive reinforcement, you need to know what you're doing, but it's really not that hard to learn. I mean, like, once you learn how to recognize what you're doing, like if you're using positive reinforcement or negative reinforcement or whatever, once you learn to recognize that and you learn how to ask correctly and like set up, behavioral questions where the horse will succeed, it's really not that hard. But, in trying to do everything in application, and it's just like my skills are still developing, and it's really hard to be perfect while they're developing. And I got really caught up in the idea that if I'm not doing it perfectly, then I'm being unethical or unfair to my horse. And then that was just like, okay, well, I guess I'm just not going to learn then, because somebody's gonna have to be the guinea pig, and like, it's gotta be the horse, and because you can't learn to train a horse without a horse. And it just, I was just like, I got really overwhelmed by that. But the reality is, hold for yawn. Is that 4 or 5 shots now? I hope you guys are not. Huh? Finish that thought. Hope you guys are not drunk enough that you won't be able to listen to the rest of me. Too many negatives. I can't even process that this morning. It's early. I've not had coffee. But the thing is, like, you don't have to be perfect. I mean, it's very hard for type A OCD streaky people like me to not want to do everything perfect and be on point all the time and never do anything wrong. But the reality is, like, I'm not perfect. And I can't expect perfection from me. I can't expect it from my horse. And shouldn't get so discouraged when it's not perfect, because it's just a process. And the horses aren't perfect. Both of us, both the horse and the human, make mistakes. We have bad days. And it's not going to be everything that you want it to be all the time. But we also have the brilliant days. And like, those are the ones that are worth working toward. And doing all of that is what, like, the point of this is. It's to have fun, it's to enjoy your animal, and to learn and gain skills like responsibility and how to train an animal and communication and patience. Like, you learn so many things from working with horses, and it's so valuable. And beyond that, the connection and the intimacy of that relationship is just, it's all so powerful. And I think it really gets a little bit muddy in I don't, this is so hard to articulate, because like, if I say one thing, it's gonna sound like I'm like, screw science, but like, that's not what I'm saying. I think everything needs a balance. I don't think it can all just be science, because then you're sucking out like the fun and the humanity and the, hoarseness, and it's just like, then it becomes like an experiment and a science project. And that's not what we want. But I also don't want to promote the idea that, you shouldn't like look at science at all, because it's like, you can't do positive reinforcement or negative reinforcement well without knowing the science behind it. Like, I know that all the years that I've been riding and doing positive reinforcement, I mean negative reinforcement, like traditional training, I didn't know why it worked. That doesn't make you a very effective trainer if you don't know why what you're doing works. Hold for water break. Wow. Okay, that water had Propel in it, and I was not ready for that. Okay, anyway, so the bottom line is, in training, we have things that we want to do and that we enjoy. Like, for me, I enjoy riding and jumping. And horses have things that they enjoy. For instance, grazing and walking around in a paddock and getting food. And the thing is, you can also bring them together. The horse can enjoy things that you enjoy, and you can enjoy things that the horse enjoys. Like, I love running around in the pasture with Zoe and, you know, training ground behaviors and working on stuff, groundwork stuff. But it's not all I want to do, you know, and, it gets boring after a while, just like it would if you were just like, I don't know, well, some people are probably dressage riders, but like if you just did flat work all the time for me, like it would get boring. And, or it'd be like if you only ever studied math or if you only ever studied English, like you don't get a well-rounded picture. And, it can be difficult to like, I don't know, just do different things. And I get very bored and burnt out. I need variety. So we can value what they want just as much as we value what we want. And that was a big, big deal for me. For a while, training just felt like martyrdom. Like, it just felt like I was sacrificing what I wanted to do for the sake of ethicality and not stressing my horse out. And it's an interesting power shift of what happened because, you know, for the entire time that I've had Zoe in our relationship has been like, I'm the leader, you do what I say, and you don't have a choice. The end. And I held all the power and I was using a lot of force in making her do what I wanted her to do. And then I moved out here, she had colic, and then I switched to positive reinforcement, and then suddenly I just threw the reins at her and was like, your turn, and just like, you're going to decide everything, and if she doesn't want to, you know, walk out of the pasture, if she'd rather go talk to another horse for 10 minutes, or if she'd rather, you know, graze or stop every 5 seconds along the way to take a bite, or pull me off in another direction, I really cannot just be like, hey Zo, anything that you want to do, let's do that. Like, it's not practical. And I know that if I were a super adept and savvy positive reinforcement trainer, I would say that, like, okay, well, you need to teach the horse how to respond to lead rope cues and find a reinforcer that's more valuable than going and sniffing noses with another horse or grazing this new grass outside of their pasture so they're more motivated to pay attention to, like, or I could just use the lead rope like she knows and do it like that. And then when we get to where we're going, reward. Or when she responds, reward. And I understand that sounds like the poison cue scenario from Jesus Rosales Ruiz. But, like, I cannot be in these constant moral dilemmas of, like, what am I doing? Like, how do I, like, it's exhausting. And it makes me not want to work with my horse. So I'm going to simplify it for me. And I'm going to move forward in that direction. And then if I don't like something I'm doing, I'm going to change it. But more on that later. I keep getting ahead of myself. Anyway, I felt like anything that I wanted to do would be unethical. And that is not a good feeling. Like, just feeling like any of your hopes and dreams are unethical or are going to take 10 years to get to. And it's really frustrating because it like I said, it made me not want to work with my horse because I was getting bored. And, and paralyzed, and I felt like I just was never going to be good enough at this, and, yeah, it's not a good feeling. Then you start to have negative associations yourself with riding and, working with your horse, and it just creates a not-so-great environment for you. Water break again. So if it were in a human relationship, it would have been Zoe's just telling me everything that she wants me to do. And, you know, I had that same relationship with her for a while and, like flipped. I mean, like vice versa. And, I wouldn't like that relationship, you know, just having somebody tell me what to do all the time. In fact, I've had that relationship and I did not like it. And, I'm sure somebody in your life, you listener, had a friend or a family member that just endlessly bosses you and you're just like, hey dude, can we just like have a conversation instead of you just telling me what to do all the time? Or are you just being unwilling to do anything that I want to do? And that's not a good relationship. You really don't enjoy those. You feel undervalued. And I did it to myself, because obviously Zoe's not like, hey, I don't care about you. Like, it was me. But I think that I don't think it's unfair to want to value yourself too. And I think that you can create a balanced partnership. I think that you can balance valuing what they want with valuing what you want. It doesn't have to be all or nothing either direction on, you know, I only value what I want or I only value what you want. It can be like, let's do this together. Let's compromise. If the horse says no, the horse says no. Like, the end. Find a way to either make it better for the horse, make it in a way that they will say yes. Maybe the horse doesn't understand. Make the understanding clearer, or don't do it at all because the horse said no. You know, like, I mean, it's respecting that instead of forcing, and that's force-free training. You do not force the horse to do things against its will, but you can ask and rephrase the question and make sure that the horse understands. And if they still say no, okay, cool. So, you know, and I would expect the same of her to me. Could not give you an example of how that would happen at the moment, but that's where we're going. So instead of just let's do what you want to do, forget about me kind of relationship, I want to be able to ask my horse if they would like to do what I would like, you know, and make it like a group effort. Like, we're doing this together. We are a team. We've always been a team. And I just lost sight of that. And like, I don't want to say got caught up in, but I sort of did, like, got really caught up in science. And while, yes, it holds true, and I believe that you can train horses strictly through positive reinforcement, I 100% believe that. It's just not, it's not something that I feel like I can do right now. And maybe in the future, it'll be something that I do. But, you know, right now, I want to just be able to, like, ease up on that a little bit and just work with my horse, you know? And, so, again, I am not, you know, here to force my agenda on Zoe. Like, this is what I don't want you guys to take away from this episode, is that because I wasn't getting to do what I wanted, that now I'm changing my training methods so that I can force my agenda on my horse. That's not what's happening. I just, like, I haven't been doing anything with my horse because I just didn't like how our training was going, really, and I was very bored with it. I didn't enjoy it, and I think that there is a way to make positive reinforcement practical. I think there's a way to make it fun, and I think that way is to, you know, just ease up a little bit and not make it every single behavior must be trained through exclusive positive reinforcement. The horse must have full autonomy all the time. I mean, like, I don't have full autonomy in my life. The horse does not have full autonomy in their lives. They're not free-range horses with no predators, you know, just, like, it's, I mean, they're pastured, stalled animals, and, they will have pressure in their lives, and they should know how to respond to it. And, I think that it's, I think that positive reinforcement is incredible, and I think that it can be made practical, and I think it can be the basis of training, and I'm hoping to be able to demonstrate that. One of my good friends, Meyer Horsemanship on Instagram, Meyer Horsemanship, I'm hoping to have them on the podcast very soon, but they are just an incredible, incredible trainer. It absolutely blows me away. I'm sorry. My eyes are itching like freaking crazy, and I don't know why. It's like I just woke up and decided I'm allergic to my house. It's making me very distracted. Anyway, they're an incredible trainer and do so, so, so much positive reinforcement. And, but it's not only positive reinforcement. And we've had several conversations since my last podcast, and I really want to get them on. I don't know. It's just like having an example like that, somebody that I've been friends with for years and years and years, and we've both changed our training so much. It's kind of incredible. Like they're just doing it in such an awesome way. It wasn't like, seeing them doing that wasn't my like, oh, that's what I want to do, so I'm just going to switch. I'm not just latching onto everyone around me, I promise. It's kind of what I was feeling. And then once I identified like where I was at, then I started noticing that and I was like, oh yeah, see that's what I want to do. So that's what I've been thinking, put into practice. So anyway, I'm a little bit behind because I'm only just now coming to this realization instead of having started there. I think that's another thing that really happens with people that start with positive reinforcement, diving all in head first. It can get really overwhelming really fast instead of just like slowly transitioning over. And there are the own struggles with that. But just because something is a little bit more difficult doesn't make it something that's not worthwhile. I absolutely think learning positive reinforcement and making yourself a better, well-rounded trainer is absolutely worth it. But it is not easy. I mean, especially since positive reinforcement, you essentially have to teach yourself because there aren't really any trainers that use it as a primary or basis for training. So anyway, just a few more points that I want to hit on here, is I'm not forcing my agenda with my horse. I'm not steamrolling her if she says no. I'm going to respect it if she says no. First, like if I ask her to, I don't know, turn left. If I ask her to turn left and she says no, I'm going to find a way to explain it better, or to ask it more clearly. And if she still says no, okay, cool. But I'm not going to return to using spurs and whips and escalating pressure. And by escalating pressure, I mean like pulling harder, kicking harder, things like that. Like, I will not use that on her. I know it doesn't work and she doesn't appreciate it. It makes her hate riding and it makes her very tense and stressed, and we're not doing it. So, you know, if she says no, she says no. I'm not forcing her into doing something. But that said, that doesn't mean that it's going to be, you know, a fully hands-off approach, nor am I sure that that's entirely not only practical, but necessary. I'm not sure that the horses need to be handled with kid gloves all the time. And I do not mean that derogatorily for anybody who uses exclusive positive reinforcement, but I'm not sure. And I'll find out very soon because I'm about to apply all of this. I would love to have already been applying it, but the weather, as I said, but like just to take a totally hands-off approach and be like, oh, you can't handle any pressure at all, is just a little bit impractical to me. And if you're a positive reinforcement trainer who uses pressure, then like, then it's, well, a positive reinforcement based trainer, I guess I should say, then uses pressure, then I'm not talking about you. But if you use like zero pressure at all, and like, I don't know, I feel like it's a little bit, and maybe some horses need it. I mean, I don't know. Each horse is individual, and I think that it's very hard to apply one thing to one horse, but I think that there is a difference in, you know, like just forcing your agenda and making your horse do things and being like, see, he's fine, and also being like, you know, maybe we don't have to just like be hands off passive all the time. I don't know if that makes sense, but what I don't want people to take from this is me being like, using exclusive positive reinforcement may be a little too laissez-faire on the horse, as like, oh yeah, see, I can use positive or negative reinforcement and traditional training because my horse can take it. Like he doesn't care. Like, I think that you should work to use, I think that you should work to using the least amount of pressure possible and the most amount of positive reinforcement possible. I think that that should be the goal for horsemanship. I think it should really move away from the Marilyn Littles of the world and big gag bits and bloody mouths, spurs, and beating our horses around a course. I really think that it should not be that way. That's a bit ridiculous, and if you don't agree, you're living in the wrong century. Look at literally any other animal training industry. But, I and Kane Meyer Horsemanship, we're all trying to move towards making positive reinforcement more accessible and more practical for people, because, I mean, for a lot of people living in a stable or riding with instructors, it's not practical to just switch 100%. People lead your horse in and out of the barn, and you cannot just do 100% positive reinforcement, and that's where I'm at. It's like, just a little bit of negative reinforcement. Just a little bit. It doesn't mean I'm denouncing positive reinforcement. I'm not running away from it. I'm not saying, oh, this is hard, I don't want to do it anymore. It's not that. It's just not practical anymore. I need to be able to get my horse out of the paddock. She needs to stand in cross ties, and I need to ride her. And I said she needs to stand in cross ties very aggressively, but she stands wonderfully through positive reinforcement. She used to dance around and wiggle and be such a pain in the ass in the cross ties. And now I can groom her, and she stands. I can fully tack her up, and she stands. And, positive reinforcement, guys, freaking works. It helps. And it's all about how you can increase the communication with the horse. How can you be as clear as possible? How can you help the horse understand? And what I'm going to try and do with negative reinforcement is use it as information instead of force. And I'm going to mess up, and Zoe's going to misread it, and I'm going to misuse it. But my effort is going to be in the way that I want to use it to be like, let's turn this way. You know, I want you to turn this way. You'll get rewarded if you do. And instead of like, I'm going to pull you this way and your reward is going to be hands off. Like, if that makes sense. I'm open to mild pressure. I don't want to use escalating pressure, but I think that pressure in terms of applying rein pressure, like pulling on the rein a little bit, just simple direction, being able to put my leg on and work with lateral movements that way. I'm not going to be pushing her over with my leg or kicking her or things like that, just being able to move around and off my leg. And just because I am reintroducing negative reinforcement does not mean that I'll be doing what I used to and going right back to traditional training. I'm not gonna just like go back to my old eventing coach and like start doing that all over again, you know, just like let's pick up and start jumping 3 foot again. Like that's not what we're going to do. I would like to get back to doing stuff like that. I miss it like crazy, but I don't really ever see eventing being our thing. And I honestly like, yeah, I miss it, but at the same time, I don't, like, I don't miss being that stressed, and I don't miss, being upset with myself and my horse all the time, and, I don't miss that amount of perfection. I don't miss the amount of stress that we were both under. Like, yes, the competitions can be fun, but a lot of the time they just weren't, and, even the one that I won, I didn't really enjoy that much. Like, it's just, I don't know, I'm kind of like, okay, not competing. I want to compete with myself. I want to, like, work with Zoe. That's what I want to do. I'm not going right back to the traditional training style or anything like that. I'm still using predominantly positive reinforcement, but mostly all of this was just an effort to be like, hey, I kind of changed my mind. This is where I'm at, and if you see me using pressure, don't yell at me. I know, that was the point, you know? What's different about what I'm doing now is that I'm listening so much more to Zoe than I ever was when I did traditional training, and I'm being okay with her saying no instead of me saying, or following that up with, you must, you have no choice, you have to. And the priority along with that is her well-being and her happiness, and mine as well. You know, I want both of us to be happy and safe and able to trust one another. So, you know, I'm still deciding what I believe in, and I think that that's just been a huge theme for my social media presence, and I think that I need to say, for the sake of some trolls that, well, I don't know that trolls actually would listen to, like, 45 minutes of my podcast, but I think that, you know, it doesn't make me a hypocrite that I've changed my mind. It doesn't make me a failure. It doesn't mean I'm, like, the worst positive reinforcement trainer in the world, or that I failed at it and that's why I'm changing, or that everything I've said in the past, I'm just a hypocrite. The thing is, like, people are allowed to grow and change, and I don't think you should be afraid of the quote-unquote I told you so elitism in the horse world of being like, well, I was right and you were wrong, or I knew you were gonna do that. Like, let people do their freaking journeys, dude. Like, just let people explore and learn, and if they ask for help, offer them help, or just be there that if they want help, you can give it to them, you know? Like, I don't think that it makes me a hypocrite for going now against what I've said in the past. I think that was where I was at, that was what was working for me, that's what I believed in, and that's what I wanted, but that's allowed to change. And we are so bad about that in the horse world, that, like, you must be right at all times, and if you're not, you're an idiot, or, you know, you're a hypocrite. And that's the favorite word of the horse world. Oh my God, it's so annoying. Like, nobody's allowed to change their mind. You must believe what you believed when you were 12. I'm like, dude, I'm coming up on 22. Like, I'm not gonna be the same person. And that's okay. Like, it's fine. And you shouldn't be scared to, like, you know, post what you believe now if it changes, for fear of offending people. Like, you cannot live your life afraid of other people. It must be your life for you. If you want to post about it, post about it. And just be ready for that backlash. But, you know, it's... Unfortunately, I didn't get backlash for the positive reinforcement post, because everyone's like, oh, cool, she's coming back to what we are doing, for the most part. But I think that I got a lot more backlash for changing my mind and going to positive reinforcement. Everyone was like, well, you did this and this and this and this and this and this and this in the past. And, yeah, it's, I think that people are a lot more keen to accept what you're doing if you're doing something that looks more like what they are, if that makes sense. But regardless, this feels more right to me, and, I'm allowed to experiment. And in the past, I feel like I thought that I was a very mild, traditional rider. I didn't feel like I was very harsh on the horses. I felt like I had more of a heart than a lot of the people around me. You know, when my trainer would tell me to, like, yank on my horse, or, you know, beat her or rip her teeth out, I would not. I would do a very mild version of that to appease my trainer. And, you know, I also thought that I was, like, disciplining my horse. But I just couldn't bring myself to, like, actually be vicious. And I have seen it in my trainers and fellow riders, and just, it's everywhere. It really is. But I cannot do that. And I'm allowed to decide that that doesn't work for me. I'm allowed to go full positive reinforcement and make that my priority. And I'm also allowed to find a middle ground. Even then, on, like, a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being traditional training, 10 being positive reinforcement, I'm at, like, a 7 or an 8 positive reinforcement, like, if that makes sense. So, I'm not switching mostly back to traditional with a dose of positive reinforcement. That's not it. It's positive reinforcement with a dose of negative reinforcement. So, I don't want to be, you know, called a hypocrite. I mean, like, call me a hypocrite. Whatever, like, it's whatever. I just want to make that point that, like, just because somebody changes what they believe in doesn't make it automatic hypocrisy. I would like to see the people calling everyone a hypocrite, see if they believe what they believed when they were 10 years younger, or 5 years younger, 1 year younger. You know, you grow up, you evolve, you change, and you're allowed to do that. And, like, what makes people a hypocrite is when they say, like, I'm not that way, like, I don't do that, and then they go and do that, like, within the same, like, week, let's say. Look up the definition of hypocrite for yourself, but, I think that it's just really thrown around in the horse world unnecessarily, and I don't think that it needs to be. Bottom line, I love positive reinforcement. It has done absolutely just, like, unfathomable, cannot speak, no words, amazing things for my relationship with Zoe. It's brought us so much closer together. It's helped her training so much. She is a completely different horse than she used to be. She stands in the cross eyes. She lets me brush her. She lets me tack her up. She's not biting, pinning her ears the whole time. She comes up to me in the pasture. She nickers at me every time she sees me. She is incredible to walk on the lead rope. She lunges incredibly. There are just so many things. She knows so many, like, fun tricks. And we just have a lot going for us. And the next step, I think, is taking that to the saddle. And I want to work towards that goal. And I love hearing you guys' stories about how much positive reinforcement has helped you. And I don't want anything that I've said today to deter anyone from using positive reinforcement. If anything, it should be pushing you towards it. And if it's not, then I've not done a good job explaining. But I think that everyone should use it to some degree or another and gradually work towards it being the predominant training method, because the science shows that it's incredibly, incredibly useful. And not everything has to be done through push and pull. You know, you have to do this or else. And unfortunately, that's a lot of what we're taught with horses. But in doing so, it's brought me to like an incredible community of wonderful people. I've met so many people through positive reinforcement that I like unforgettable experiences and conversations. And I've learned so much through people that have been so generous and open with their knowledge and willing to share. And that's not something that really is common in the horse world. And I know that sometimes positive reinforcement people can get a little preachy and a little pushy of, what they believe in. But it's really just because they're like, this is incredible. I love what this is doing for my horse, and I want to share it. And what I don't agree with is the, like, you're being unethical. I think that we need to have a little bit more compassion for others that aren't doing what we're doing. And not in the way that, like, oh, you just haven't, like, realized what I've realized yet. But, like, you know, that's just where you're at, and you're allowed to be there. I think it's a wildly different community, because people who train with positive reinforcement are a lot more keen to be like, yeah, you do this and this and this, and this is why this is happening, and this is how you can fix it, and you can look up this resource and do this, and read this article, this blog, and like, you just really don't get that in the traditional horse world. I know some people, of course, will answer all your questions and be keen to help, but it's not quite to the degree. Oh, just dropped my microphone. It's not quite to the degree that we see it in positive reinforcement, at least in my experience. Sorry, I'm trying to take off my jacket. Got a little warm. Beyond that, I feel like positive reinforcement gave me an opportunity to start a conversation about ethicality and horsemanship. And at least in my small corner of the internet, I got people thinking. And I can't believe that I made an impact like that. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn here and be like, oh my God, I'm so powerful. But like, getting people like thinking about positive reinforcement. And like, even if, you know, you don't use it, you might have looked it up and been like, oh, okay, there's that. And then maybe we'll come back to it later, you know, when you're able to, or you're, ready to explore a new method for whatever reason. Maybe you get a new horse and you're like, maybe I should try that thing, you know. So for whatever reason, it's created a lot of conversation, and people are thinking about it, and it's making at least the people that followed me, you know, consider, how ethical is this? Am I forcing my horse, or am I asking my horse? Is this a partnership, or is it a dictatorship? You know, and I think that it's created an emphasis on ethics in equestrianism, and I think that that doesn't look the same for everyone, and I think that that's okay. But I think that as long as we're thinking about it, that's awareness is the first step, you know. So all in all, not turning my back on positive reinforcement, but I'm willing to explore. And beyond that, now I would like to talk a little bit about what my plans are. And so what I've been doing, as I have stated at some point or another, I'm taking Zoe out of her paddock, and it stresses her mama out a little bit, and she has everything she needs in her paddock, but still taking Zoe out is just not her favorite thing in the world, and I don't have anybody to help me, so she's just going to have to learn that that's going to be a regular occurrence and be okay with it. So what I've been doing is just taking Zoe out, and Zoe's totally fine, so relaxed, don't have to pull on the lead rope at all, she just follows me, and going to the cross ties, put her in the cross ties, she stands, and I brush her and pick out her hooves, and yes, I treat her the whole time for standing still, and then I tack her up. And started out with the bareback pad and just having something like go up and over her back and girthing her up and using that as a, like, you know, precursor to a saddle to see how she would react with the girth. And she's totally fine. So I eventually graduated to using my saddle, and she was totally fine. The first time I put it on and girthed it up, she was totally fine. And I think that's exactly how training should go. I think that, when you get to where you want to be, it should be going well with no reaction, nothing. I think that's a sign that things are, you've done things correctly. I think that if there's a big blow up, you need to take a step or seven back. So anyway, I've gotten on her. I did get on her the other day for a photo shoot, but I just, like, sat on her. It wasn't, like, a thing. But she stood politely at the mounting block. That was really nice. But I don't think she likes bareback very much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start in a saddle for the most part, and I'm just going to get on her and walk for, I don't know how long. I'm not going to put a time limit on it, but I'm estimating a month or two. Of just, like, as consistent as I can be, if the weather would chill out. I just want to get on her and walk around and retrain my leg. Because right now, to her, my leg is a scary thing. It's something that, says, run away from me. And, she doesn't like it. She gets jumpy, and if my leg bumps her at all or rests on her side at all, she goes forward. And, that's not what we want. And she's always been like that. Like, I've always had to have quite a bit of pressure in the bridle. And that's another thing. We're not using a bit. She turns perfectly fine and she stops fine. But, I want to, make sure that all of that is good. Cause I mean, end goal, I'd like to be able to ride a bridleless, but isn't that everyone's dream? but I'm hoping that we can get there. But first, she needs to be okay with my body, you know? I need to find a way to make it, accessible to her. And, that's my plan, is just to get on and take everything down, like, 75 notches. And, work on some lateral stuff. And not, like, just a ton of pressure and force and any of that. Just, like, I'd like you to move off my leg. And let's do that. And I'm not gonna ask you to trot. And then we'll gradually work up to it, and then we'll work up to canter, and that's how I want to go about this, instead of just like, okay, I'm gonna hop on and try and fix everything all at once, walk, trot, and canter. No, I want to make walk, you know, good and comfortable for both of us, to where I don't have that reactivity. And then we can start introducing, to more of the faster gates. So that's my plan for right now. I know that's a big, big grand goal there, but that's where we're at. And that's our reality. And that's what we're doing. So anyway, I think that about covers this podcast. And I think I'm going to throw this episode up on YouTube and I'm going to see how it does and what you guys think. And I want you guys to let me know if you, that's a weird sound. Let me know if you want me to keep doing that and if you like it. And if you don't, also let me know about that, or I can attempt to make another account and post that. I don't know how I feel about all that. We'll see. Anyway, I am going to put this one up on YouTube because I feel like it's an important conversation, and I want you guys to give me some feedback on that. Let me see what you like. So yeah, I think that just about covers it. If you guys want to follow me on the social media platforms, you can find me at Jet Equitheory on YouTube. That's JetEquitheory. You can find me at jill.treece. That's my personal, JILL.TREECE. And then this podcast, you can find Jet Real Podcast on Instagram. I don't need to spell that, I think. I think you got that one. I also have a Facebook page, Jet Real Podcast and Jet Equitheory. If you want to friend me on Facebook, I'd rather you follow me at Jill Treece, because I don't accept people that I don't know, because I don't want my feed messed up. I like to see my friends and family. But beyond that, you can listen to this podcast on any platforms that you'd like. Please leave a rating because it helps push me in the algorithm, helps more people listen. And mama's gotta eat, so please do that. And beyond that, I think we are good to go, ladies and gents. So thank you guys endlessly for listening to this podcast. I hope that my message was clear, and I hope that it will be well received. And I hope that at some point I have made you question and wonder. And I think that's what life is about, is questioning and learning and challenging yourself and others and ideas and finding what you believe in the most. And that's what I have hung true to. So with that, I will leave you guys. Please check me out on all those social medias. Drop a rating on this, and that's gonna be it. Thank you guys so much for listening. All right, have a good one.